So Iran says another one of its nuclear scientists has been killed, this time by a motorcyclist who attached a bomb to the scientist's car in Tehran this morning. That's the fourth such killing reported in 2 years, and it comes during a time of, we can politely call, growing tension between Iran and the United States and the rest of the Western nations. Joining us now, Gordon Carrera, security correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Gordon, is there evidence that there is actually some covert operations going on against the nuclear operations in Iran?
I think there's no doubt that there's a covert campaign going on. Well, it's not entirely covert because we can see some of the results of it. It's taking on different forms. There are the killings of these scientists. As you said, there have been four in the last 2 years. One set in November 2010, very similar to what happened this morning with motorcycle riders attaching kind of sticky bombs to the cars of scientists. We've also seen explosions at missile facilities. The Iranians in some cases have said that those had innocent explanations. Not everyone is sure. You've also had the Stuxnet, the cyber virus used to attack the Iranian nuclear program. So I think if you look at that range of activity, you can certainly say that there is a covert, clandestine, some kind of campaign to try and delay and slow down Iran's nuclear program.
Is it effective? Have these killings actually slowed the nuclear program?
That's a really interesting question. I think on one level, the official response that we've had today is that there will be no slowdown. And it would be hard to imagine politically that there would be a decision because of some attack like this to slow down in any way. I think it's very unlikely that it has a political impact. I think perhaps, though, the idea may be that these are people with specialist scientific knowledge and skills who, by removing them from the operation, will slow down the program. I mean, in this case, the scientist killed this morning is believed to have been a specialist in making polymembric membranes to separate gas in the uranium enrichment program, obviously a specialist skill. And so what the effect of it is, it's quite hard to gauge, but I think the hope of whoever's carrying out is clearly to buy more time, to let also other forms of diplomacy, pressure, whatever's going on internally in Iran, to take their effect as well.
Although this comes right after an announcement from a nuclear official in Iran that they're going to begin production at a second uranium enrichment plant, this time far underground. Do we have a really good idea of where the nuclear program in Iran is, where it stands?
We have a reasonably good idea because a lot of these facilities are under IAEA safeguards, so they are inspected. So, for instance, the inspectors would acknowledge that this new facility underground is operating. What it looks like at the moment is Iran is not moving at the fast as it can to get a nuclear bomb. What it's doing is moving as fast as it can to have the capability to have a nuclear bomb. It's not made the final decision yet. It wants to go for a bomb. If it did that, the inspectors would spot it, they would report it. Instead, Iran does look like it's trying to get everything in place so that if it wants to go and what's known for a breakout for a bomb, then it could. But as I said, I think that would be spotted if it was doing it. But the timeline, what they're trying to do is shorten the period from making a decision to being able to have a weapon. No one is quite sure what that period is, and some people believe that it is shortening and they could have one much sooner than others think.
Although in the meantime, we can probably expect more operations to slow down that program coming from somewhere in the West. Gordon Carrera, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.